Welcome to the new episode of the Babson Center for Global Commerce's podcast. I'm Maggie Tilley, class of 2024.
And I'm Savia Nunziata, class of 2024 as well. We're very excited because today we have a great guest. He's a student leader from Greensview Capital, the Sewanee's Student Investment Fund. We have Jake Cohen, class of 24. Thank you, Jake, for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is going to be a great one. So just as an introduction, Greensview is the student-run investment fund of Sewanee. And Greensview has more than 8 sectors, and each sector focuses on specific fields. These have, you know, some leaders of the analyst team. And Jake in particular works on the social impact team. He has been leading these for how many years now?
Since sophomore spring, or like early fall.
So you have had great experience. And the social impact portfolio is a little bit different than the other sectors. And correct me if I'm wrong here with anything, because most of the sectors in GVC, they invest in public equities that are on the S&P 500. However, the social impact portfolio has much more freedom. You guys invest in debt investments and as well as equity, I know, recently. We're very interested in learning more about it in a second. But before I would like to start with, how did you develop your interest in social impact investing?
I think I came to Sewanee not knowing really anything about investing really being involved with social impact through a financial lens. But I knew that I was interested in sustainability and the environment just from childhood and growing up, and from, I think, the values that my mom had instilled in me. So I knew I wanted to go into sustainability and try to create impact there. In freshman year, one of my friends who was a senior at the time told me about social impact and what they do, and I thought I'd give it a try. And all of a sudden that interest was piqued with the first investment we were working on. And so from there, I just kind of explored that interest, both with now doing a business minor, so both academically with the business part of it, but I'm also a sustainability major, so I was able to combine the academic interest with the extracurricular, and the fact that impact can be created outside of myself was the best part.
That's awesome. And so that's how you were introduced to the investment fund, through the friend that was a senior, right?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's very Sewanee.
Yes, that's
but that's also one of the overarching idea of these podcasts. I think one of our goals is to introduce the whole campus to these niche activities that I think are very very interesting, and that, you know, everybody would like to know about. So can you tell us more about what the Social Impact Fund does, and what you are invested in right now?
Yes, so the Social Impact Fund started in 2015, and it sort of blossomed from the Socially Conscious Club. And so what they sought to do was to redirect the current endowment and parts of it away from fossil fuels or other investments that had perceived negative consequences. And so that was a more reactive approach, but we wanted to be proactive. And an alumni benefactor named Scott Satterwhite saw that opportunity and started a $2 million fund known as the Social Impact Sector. And from there, we began with our first investments. We seek to have a triple bottom line. So whereas most other sectors and generally investing as a whole looks to just generate financial profit, we wanted to generate not just financial profit, but also environmental and social impact. So we had a triple bottom line approach. And so that kind of guides all our investments. And so we've had a team of that averages around like 12 people each semester. And we continue to try to grow that. We work with analyzing investments. We talk and communicate with different funds that we're interested in. We do both financial and impact analysis as well as risk. So we kind of get a wide variety of not just the financial analysts or analyzing, but we get to really see how we can optimize that capital. So that's the general gist of it.
You've said a lot of we and our so far. Can you elaborate a little bit more on, like, the team kind of dynamic within Greensview?
Yes.
In your specific segment?
Yes. So, Scott Satterwhite is basically the, everything funnels down from him. So, he kind of guides all of our investments and connects us with the people that we end up talking to throughout the semester. And so, as leader, I kind of guide that process. And so there's a team of 12 people. And so they each will contribute some form of analysis throughout the semester. And that can be through research. So, for example, one person will be focused on how does this specific firm or fund plan to create impact. Another person could be creating the slides and research on how that's going to create financial profit. And so ultimately, all that research culminates in a pitch at the end of the year to the Board of Regents and the Investment Management Committee. And so I usually lead that, but all the members will participate in a pitch to the Greensview Capital Investment Club, and that's usually in front of all sectors and all the leaders. And so that's a really good way to present our findings and have a teamwork dynamic that culminates in something that's meaningful and that doesn't just sit within the team, but it gets spread around the community.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you mentioned leadership, you know, so leading a group of students, pitching to the MC, which, you know, is the committee from the Board of Regents. You know, there's a bunch of very established professionals that work in the field of finance, pitching to the whole club. That sounds like a lot of great experience. Do you feel like these experiences help you exploring career options or developing some skills that you can spend after Sewanee?
Definitely. I think that this was probably the greatest learning experience I had at Sewanee, even more so than the academic classes, because I think there's like the soft skills that I learned, like leadership and the team dynamic of collaboration, but also to be able to create like tangible and measurable impact with real world consequences is not something that you always get to do in an academic setting. And also the communication that I have with people like Scott Satterwhite and also our faculty advisor, Eric Zinn, and with Miles Elledge. So I'm working with professionals that are established and can really offer a lot of guidance and advice in a real world situation. And I think in terms of how it applies to a career, I think all that's applicable, but also to see the ability to align like my values with like financial capital is not something that I thought I'd be able to experience. I think that I sort of had the two separate. I didn't think they could work together. So this early to experience how they can work together, I think is something that is really just like insurmountable, or I guess like infinite in the way it can have the benefits, I guess. That's awesome. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah, thank you for sharing everything about what it's like being a senior in your leadership position. Do you have any recommendations for Sewanee underclassmen interested in social impact finance?
Yes, I think that a lot of times I hear students that are hesitant to join because either they don't have any finance background or business background, and so they're kind of scared away by that. And so, there's also students that have like a complete business background and don't really know about sustainability, and so they don't really see how the two could intertwine. And I think that ultimately, everyone has something to offer to the team, and that we see that every year because we collaborate different perspectives of people that only have a background in maybe sustainability or social impact, and others that are coming from a finance background. And when those perspectives intertwine, I think that's when the most learning happens. So I think no matter where you are, there's always growth to be had on the team. So I wouldn't be scared away by any past experience. And also just the opportunity, like, not everyone is going to have an opportunity in their lifetime to be able to use their own money to create good. And so when we have a fund of $2 million to create real impact, I think that that's something that everyone should try to be a part of. I think that's a really unique and rare opportunity that Sewanee provides.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And actually, about that allocation of money, I believe that... when you do the due diligence in these companies, or even afterwards when you guys are invested, you probably start creating a network of people that you collaborate with, you know, in the real world, because this is real money that's being invested. So can you tell us a little more about your experience in terms of the actual investments that, that the fund has gone through, and do you have a favorite?
So the first investment that the team completed and that I was a part of was the Partner Community Capital. And so I was a team member of this. So I was definitely learning and just seeing what the fund was about. The leader at the time, Anthony DiPreto, kind of spearheaded all of the research and work and delegated. And that's sort of where I learned the leadership techniques and process from him. And in that, we looked to invest into Partner Community Capital, which is a community development financial institution. And it's U.S. Treasury certified. And so what they do is investment and strategic advisory for Southern Appalachian and Southeastern communities that are underserved. So they provide access to capital to the borrowers that cannot meet credit standards of traditional finance institutions because of risks that are real or perceived. So they could be too young, undercapitalized, starting out in an unfamiliar industry, geography or demographic group that limits the ability to obtain capital to start their business or grow their business. And so they provide flexible debt to these perceived risky companies. And so this has generated 7,000 jobs in the first year. And this investment matured in 2024. We had made this over 4 years ago. So the impacts have now stretched out pretty far. And we did a $200,000 investment into this initially. And they also provide business advisory services and strategic initiatives to make sure that when the capital is given, that they have the best possible outcomes and guidance to grow those businesses. And then I think my favorite investment was the 1 Acre Fund. And so we initially made this investment in 2019 for $200,000. And then this matured in 2022 and we reinvested in this for another $200,000. And what they do is they work with millions of smallholder farmers in sub-Saharan rural Africa. And so they provide supplies and training in areas that it would be difficult to obtain that or obtain the capital to expand the agriculture productions. And so they have several different focus areas that they provide. So they provide farm supplies, so that could be seeds, tools, and nutrients, and they really have an emphasis on the quality. They provide financing and insurance, and so they'll deliver farm inputs on credit, and they'll tailor everything to the local environment that's needed. They provide insurance for extreme weather events, which is necessary because sub-Saharan Africa is experiencing some of the worst climate change effects, especially in how it's impacting agriculture. They also have a focus on last mile delivery, which is one of their initiatives where they make sure everything is delivered within walking distance to the recipient because of the spread out nature of the farmland. They don't want to be losing any of that supplies, so they really have a good execution there. They provide training, so they have a whole team of field experts that are working on soil health, fertility, and sustainable and regenerative techniques. They also have an emphasis on innovation, and they plan to have farmers plant over 1 billion trees in the next 15 years. Wow. By 2030, it's projected that 9 out of 10 people living on $1 a day will live in sub-Saharan rural Africa. So their goal is to serve 10 million farmers by 2030. In 2021, they served 3.2 million farmers, and they generated $210 million in new profits. For every dollar that's invested, there's $3.6 in growth or profits from that food. So, on average, harvest size doubles, and so from that same amount of land, and also a lot of the farmers are producing a surplus for the first time. So, there's a new profit while there's more food, and so overall that grows and strengthens the communities. Decreases hunger, increases self-sufficiency, and ultimately leads to advancement and prosperity. And so I think that one has a really strong impact and measurable impact. So I think that was one of my favorites to be a part of. And then the next investment we had was MCE Social Capital, and that was also an investment for $200,000. And We also completed this one in 2020, and so they have dispersed $40.3 million in the past year to Latin America, Asia, Central Asia, Eastern Europe, and Africa. And so they do something somewhat similar to the partner community capital, but they sort of have a different approach to it. So they will provide philanthropic loan guarantees to mobilize capital and make high impact investments. So for entrepreneurs that are unable to receive loans, they'll use guarantors to improve the credit rating so that they these entrepreneurs can receive those loans at lower interest rates. And so this will allow financial industries and banks to lend at a lower cost. And so the goal is to create sustainable jobs in rural economies and raise the income and also increase climate resilience. And so they're basically unlocking capital using high net worth individuals for that capital borrowing. So 53% of the clients that they work with were accessing loans for the first time. And 62% could not find lending. 80% who used these loans increased income. 39% saw an increase in the number of paid employees. 92% of clients reported increase in quality of life because of the relationship with the financial service provider that MCE provided them. And 74% of clients said that their ability to achieve their financial goals has improved due to MCE. And this was out of over 1,250 interviews. And so ultimately what this does is address the credit gap for small businesses in emerging markets. There's a missing middle that they work with. So there's entrepreneurs that are too big for microfinance, but they're too small for commercial lending. So they focus on filling that middle. They work with businesses that are looking to grow in agriculture, water and sanitation, and clean energy sectors. They have provided training for the best farming practices. They've mitigated carbon, and they are working to increase sustainable livelihoods, gender inclusion, and a thriving environment. And they do this by removing the barriers to capital. And then our most recent investment, which was in the past year, was with the GoATL Economic Inclusion Fund. And so that also works with removing barriers to capital, but with, in particular, the Atlanta region. In the Southeast region. And so we invested $250,000 to help scale economic inclusion. And so they try to do that through measurable increases in job growth and wealth. So they have invested $5,500,000 so far. They've created 7,418 new jobs from these entrepreneurial businesses that they've helped start up. And they have a five-year target of growing 18,000 more jobs. 80% of the fund's investments are to Black, Latino, or woman-owned businesses. And so they basically do this by providing flex debt, grace periods, deferred payments, and revenue share agreements that work around the barriers to capital and the high interest rates that traditional financial institutions would create. And so basically they've scaled their economic inclusion. They've done measurable increases in job growth. Their first impact report should be coming out soon, and we'll be able to see the investments that they've made. But this is just a really powerful fund that's close to home and has sort of garnered a new interest from a lot of the team because a lot of people are from this region. So to see a fund that's working close to home is really cool as well. And so that is our current portfolio. And we're looking right now for this semester at a fund called Alante Capital, and they invest to enable a circular and decarbonized future for apparel, footwear, outdoor gear, and home goods industries. And so this is a really cool, sustainable, and innovative fund that we're excited to look into and continue that partnership.
Thank you for the spoiler there. So we might, that's insider information. But no, it's going to be all right. They're not publicly traded. The SEC is not going to.
Yeah.
But I actually had a question. And this is, by the way, all this is incredible. It makes me want to,
be a freshman again.
Yeah, be a freshman again. But talking about that, I mean, we're all seniors. We're all doing stuff other than school. And Jake, you're a student athlete, right? On the lacrosse team, student leader. You're in Greek Life, and you're also a leader there. I know you're chair for DEI. Of course, you're a full-time student. You were abroad in Portugal. Do you have any recommendation for people looking into getting, you know, their hands in a bunch of things on campus other than classes?
Definitely. I think it's different for everyone and how they manage different priorities. But I think something that's really special about Suwannee is how the extracurriculars are so meaningful. And so for me, at least, I've found that there's a lot of different things I could do, but I didn't want to overextend myself into things I wasn't fully passionate about. So I kind of narrowed down what I was really passionate about, what aligned with my values, what I thought could provide the most growth. And sort of building that basis for the extracurriculars, it kind of creates this motivation to work really hard. And it doesn't really ever feel like work, especially with like something like social impact or DEI chair or with being co-director of the Greenhouse. That's all stuff that is just really nourishing and helps me grow as a person, also learn from others. So I think finding the things that give you energy rather than take it and feel like work, you never really feel like you're running out of time or in a position where you have too much on your plate, because you'll just find a way to balance those priorities and time kind of isn't as relevant when you can really just apply yourself and immerse yourself fully.
Thank you so much, Jake, for being here. It's been great to hear you speak about your work in the social impact investment sector of GBC. And as the Babson Center loves to remind us, the world of business does have many doors. And I think hearing how you've been able to align your interests in sustainability and finance is a great reflection of Suwannee and what the university is trying to do here. And we can all learn a lot from your experiences and perspective.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this lovely conversation and for making time to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was great talking to you all.